So we're actually today in our second week of our new series, and it's called Acts, and we've just titled it Go. And one of the reasons why we've titled it Go is that the new church that is that we read about in Acts basically responded to the commission that Jesus said, the words that Jesus said just before he ascended into heaven, from Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Jesus said these words to his disciples. He said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That was the commission to the disciples back then, and that's the commission to us as well here in 2021. Now, last week, if you weren't with us last week on Zoom, we worked through chapter 1 and a little bit of chapter 2. So Jesus talking with his disciples, sending them out, but also Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit came. And I mentioned last week how Jesus, in his earthly ministry for 3 or so years, he was really only present. He was only able to be present in one point at one time. So there was a limitation to Jesus' earthly ministry. But one of the great blessings of the church and the new age that we are in today since Pentecost is that the Spirit of Jesus is everywhere. The Spirit of Jesus is in all those who are followers of Jesus. Just as Jesus' ministry was only able to be in one place, the Holy Spirit is everywhere. And we read last week how in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came via wind, which represents the power of His Spirit, and also by fire, which represents His presence. And that's the gift of the Holy Spirit in us. This is not just for our benefit, but for us to be witnesses to go and to be witnesses for Christ round about us. Today we're going to be looking at the next part of Acts chapter 2. So if you've got Bibles with you, you can follow along. We're going to be hanging out in the book of Acts chapter 2. And I've titled this particular week, this particular sermon series, The Power of Authentic Community. The Power of Authentic Community. And you can follow along and take notes if you like in your study guide. What happened after Pentecost? What happened after Pentecost is there was a beginning of this whole new community, essentially called the church. And we're going to read today from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through to 47. We'll put the words up on the screen. You can follow along there or read it in your own Bibles. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." I read an article, it was quite a while ago actually, and I don't think things have changed too much since I read this article, that as Australia and Australians, we've increased in prosperity, which we have over a number of decades now. Our prosperity has continually increased. We have relied less and less on community. We have relied less and less on other people. It's a sad thing, isn't it? That as we gain more and more possessions, we become more and more lonely because we spend less and less time with other people. Now, this may be an exception to the people I'm speaking to right now, because you're probably here because you value community and you were the first ones to say, yes, I want to come along on a Sunday morning. So I'm probably preaching to the converted a little bit, but let's think about outside of ourselves. There's people all around us who have spent so much time focusing on their prosperity that they've left behind community. And I think particularly in what we've gone through over the last 18 months or so, through lockdowns and restrictions, I think there's a sense that a lot of people are realizing how lonely life is without community. And how good is it when we can get a sense of community, like here we are this morning, where we can at least see people face to face. Now, not saying we can't develop community over Zoom. I'm not saying that at all, but I think we'd all agree how much more of a blessing it is when we can be in the same room together. Now, when we talk about community, we're going to be talking about what it means to have an authentic community. I don't think it means just doing things together. You know, within our communities, you know, you've got sporting clubs and you've got art groups and you've got play groups and you've got garden societies and all these sort of things, and they all perform a really important function, gathering people together generally on a common interest, being sport or art or gardening or walking or whatever. How much more important, how greater of a blessing it is when all of those differences that we have, we still gather together and are committed to each other, not just to a common interest. Now, do you know the difference that I'm talking about here? We gather together not just because we enjoy the same sport or we enjoy the same art, but we're committed together because we desire to serve one another. And that's what makes the church community, or it should make it, so unique and so powerful. It should be the forte of the church. I would say to the extent, me just speaking, I'd say to the extent where it's almost impossible to live a dynamic life for Christ outside Christian community. Now, if you disagree with that, you can come and we can talk about that, but I think as we go through here, we'll start to realize how important Christian community is. Almost important to have a dynamic relationship. And we want to talk about the importance of community. Now, it's at this point in my sermon, I'm actually going to invite someone to come up here and talk a little bit about that. Now, I'm not going to drop them on the spot. They know about that. But I'm going to ask Rhonda and Neil to come up. Now, I think you all, well, most of you would know Neil and Rhonda. They've been with us for a few years now. How about we show our appreciation to Rhonda and Neil? Strange, isn't it? We can take our masks off if you're talking. Yes. I'll give you that microphone. Now,
yes,
we've talked, and you've actually stood up here on a number of occasions and talked about some of your passions as well.
Yes.
Why is community important to you both?
That's a good question, and I've really thought about that. And I think, like you've just mentioned, community means different things to different people. And like first and foremost, our family is community. Our friendships are community. And our church is definitely community. But then there's also the wider community. It's who we interact with when we go to the supermarket. It's the shops. The chemist, you know, whatever. Neighbours. The chemist a lot.
What was that, sorry?
And our neighbours.
Your neighbours, yes.
Yeah.
You're not talking about one particular neighbour over here. You've got a few neighbours, but yes. Okay.
And we also have a new neighbour on our other side who have declared they don't have a faith. And we keep talking about getting together and having a coffee and whatever, and it hasn't happened yet because they've had health issues, we've had health issues. But we've been building a relationship through text messaging and phone calls. And I feel like we know them each other already. And They know that we have a faith and we're hoping and praying that we can encourage them to seek what our faith is and who we trust in and why we trust. So, community to me is all of those things. And I guess if we go into the next question, it's been a hard year.
Yes, well, that's what I'm going to lead to. So,
did you want to add to that?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, it's coming. We've all had some challenges. We've had restrictions based on how we can interact with community.
Yeah.
You've got family in South Australia.
Yes.
Which creates challenges.
Yes.
And you've already mentioned briefly your own health challenges, which has created some complexity in that. So how do you navigate community in the midst of all of these challenges?
Mm. The short answer is I haven't very well.
I think we can all agree that we've all found it difficult, so you're not on your own there. Mm. Yep, yep.
To start with, our family has supported us immensely. Just in to be there to talk to them, even though we haven't been able to physically see or touch, you know, be in their presence. But what's been really evident to us is the support of our church family and just the contact that they have been making with us, text messages, visitations, and just their generosity and it's their outpouring of love to us. It's just been quite incredible the way that you have responded, and we have felt the love that you've given, and it's just been amazing. So we've been encouraged by that, and we want for our church community too to be encouraged in what you're doing because it makes a difference.
Thank you, Neil. I find it interesting that you've got you've had some significant challenges, but in the midst of all of this, you're talking about your desire to share community with your these new people you've met as next door neighbours. So why the focus on that? Where it'd be quite understandable for you to go, look, I've got enough issues. I'm not going to spread myself any further than what I am right now. So why do you foster that? What drives you to do that, both of you?
Oh, okay, that's a tough question.
Oh, you can just say, oh, I don't know, if you want
to. I don't know. I really don't. It's just within me. I just know God's love is so strong in me, and it's my desire that that everyone knows this joy that comes from the knowledge of our inheritance and what Jesus actually did is just it's just mind-boggling.
Mm.
So it's that heart thing that's in there. But to go back to like the struggle that I've had, chemo sucks, okay? Chemo is horrible. And what it does to your body is horrible. And in that time of that first intense treatments, I was non-functioning. I didn't know what day it was. I didn't know. There were days I was so low that I couldn't pray. I couldn't even open my Bible, and that's a sad day when I can't open my Bible. But, sorry.
It's all right.
In that, like Neil's just shared, When I hit some of my lowest days, my friends and my growth groups people would send me just the text that lifted my heart and reminded me that God's there. And I really felt people's prayers. I really felt God's arms supporting me. But at the same time, I feel like I let people down because here I am, a growth group leader. Here I am, the growth group's coordinator. And I felt like I just didn't send out enough encouragement to others. And that upset me. And I know, you know, you can use the excuse, oh, you were sick, but I was busy praying for myself.
Okay, so if I can just stop you there. Church, has Rhonda let us down? Is that okay?
Have I what?
You haven't let them down. We're with you in all of this. And look, it's interesting, we haven't even really talked about growth groups as well, but
No. That's
another thing too, isn't it? That
Yeah. You're
so passionate about gathering people together
Yeah. In
order to be able to grow together, pray together, read Yeah. God's word together.
Yeah. Mm. Well, the purpose of growth groups, if I can mention them, because it's my thing, is that we gather together in mutual love, but it's in supporting each other, encouraging each other in our faith, and it's that accountability that you have with each other, not in a harsh way, but in that encouraging way, to build each other as disciples of Christ. And it's when, and I know that, and when we meet together regularly in our groups, our faith is stronger, and we tend to be more outward thinking, and that's how we reach our wider community, when we're outward thinking. It's what you were saying at the beginning of your message here, that a community is about thinking about others. It's about reaching out, and that's, to me, that's
your passion. Look, I want to thank you, Rhonda and Neil, for being vulnerable this morning and sharing where you're at. And I'm sure that this has been an encouragement to you all. And I just want to take this opportunity to pray for you both through this particular season that you're at. And I want to pray particularly for your growing relationship with this other next, not that next door neighbour, the other next door neighbour,
that
will bear much fruit. Will you join with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you've brought Neil and Rhonda to be amongst us. We thank you for the passion that you've given them. We thank you for your spirit within them that enables them, strengthens them, and comforts them at this time. And we pray that you will continue that work. We pray that you'll continue to strengthen and bring healing to Rhonda's body and Neil as her support. We just pray, Heavenly Father, for this relationship with this next door neighbour. We just pray that that will flourish and grow to the point where we'll see some amazing transformation and fruit. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your provision and your grace through the challenges of this time. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we show our... Oh, you wanted to say something else. You're going to ask everybody to join a growth group now, aren't you? Yeah, that's all right.
Is it not? I just might add, our neighbours think that they chose that house, but they don't know God put them there.
Thank you so much, Neil and Rhonda. It's great to hear from you. Let's get back to this passage here in Acts chapter 2. You've got that there in front of you. The problem is, so often we look at this passage and we think it's prescriptive. We think that this is what the New Testament church should do. And we look at it, and it describes a number of different things. We meet every day, we sell our property, we give away all our money, we break bread every day. It's not so much this is what you must do, tick off the list. It describes good principles to encourage community. Luke, in writing this book, introduces a word for the very first time. It's the first time we read this word in the Bible. And if we go back to the previous slide, Loretta, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, which is a Greek word called koinonia. Koinonia. Now, it's not a campsite down at Evans Head, although it can be. This is a Greek word which describes far more than just fellowship. And I've got a bit of a definition here. Koinonia, fellowship, partnership, communion, community. It's far more than the fellowship we think if we say we're going to have some great fellowship over a cup of tea and coffee after the service this morning. It's more than a cup of tea and coffee. It's more than just sort of saying, how are you going? It's more than just passing somebody and giving them a hug or whatever. There is it's probably very hard to add to the definitions of all of this, but we find that once this word is used in Acts chapter 2, it's used a further 19 times in the New Testament. In many ways, it describes the new church. It defines the church. It's more than just a religious duty. It's more than just what we have to do. You know, come to church, join a growth group, you know, stand, sing, read, or whatever. It describes something far deeper. What does it look like? And we can see here in Acts chapter 2, they're gathering together in the temple. They meet in the temple. They meet in homes. They don't just open their homes. I think a better way to describe it is they open up their lives. And we hear this for Neil and Rhonda, opening up their lives to other people. It's a big difference. You can be very hospitable. You can, yet opening lives, you become very vulnerable. How does koinonia work? How does this word describing the church work? And I'm going to issue three challenges that I find that as we look at koinonia. The first challenge about authentic community or koinonia is this. Is the first one is we've got to give it all you've got. You've got to give it all you've got. It's more than just attending church on a Sunday and maybe going to a growth group on a Wednesday night. It's more than just turning up. It requires commitment. Now, going back to this passage in Acts chapter 2, did you notice one of the things that they did was they sold their possessions? Now, I'm not going to tell you that you need to sell your possessions if you want to live in authentic community. I'm not going to tell you to sell your possessions if you want to join this church or whatever. The principle is, in all of this, is that the early church were 100% committed to each other. That's what it says. It's not committed to attendance or offerings or the like, but to authentic relationships. This passage is not so much about the selling of possessions, but realizing that relationships, realizing that community is more important than our possessions. You want me to say it again? Community, relationships, they're actually more important than possessions. Agree? I'm not telling you to sell your possessions, I'm just telling you to reprioritize. And I think it's a big problem here in Australia. Possessions come first, community, well, however we work that out. And as I said, I think it just creates a whole lot of islands and a whole lot of loneliness. I'm just so glad that over my life, Angie and I have had key people within our life who've encouraged us to develop community, encouraged us to reach out and invest in the lives of other people, to be vulnerable with one another. Some of you will know of a Christian psychiatrist called Larry Crabb, written some great books about society and about people from a Christian perspective. And he wrote a particular book called Inside Out. It's a number of years ago now. And in this book, he was wrestling with his struggle as a Christian psychologist, where he would have clients who would come to him with a problem, and he would deal with the problem with them. Then they would go back into their environment, and then they'd come and have another session and go back. And it's to a large extent, it's the way clinical treatment works. And as a Christian, he realized the struggle that all he was dealing with was with individuals with individual problems. And he started to say, where does community fit into all of this? How does friendships and working with people in all of this? And in this book, he wrestled with this whole thing that people need other people. They don't just, now, I'm not sort of saying we don't need psychologists or psychologists, we need them, but in the context of a community where we're supported and loving and interacting and vulnerable with one another. And from that, he wrote the other book simply called Connecting. Larry Crabb wrote from inside out, he wrote this book called Connecting, that really, our desire should be more than anything else, is to connect with one another. Now, I'm just going to really briefly look at a number of different comments made in the New Testament in this new koinonia, this authentic community. And the problem is that there are probably certain Christians who think, I don't need anybody else. All I need is Christ, and I don't want to trust anybody else. How would you interpret these particular statements made in the New Testament, such as this? Love one another. Be truthful to one another. Be devoted to one another. Forgive one another. Submit to one another. Pray for one another. These are all statements that will be familiar to you because you've read them within the context of the New Testament. That doesn't talk about individual Christians, doesn't it? Doing their own life in isolation from other people. Can you see that if you have that mindset that I don't need others round about me, it's going to be pretty hard to respond to those statements, isn't it? It's all about other people. These are the challenges, not to individuals, but to a community. And for an individualistic Christian, that would be almost impossible. As a matter of fact, even Jesus himself, John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, said these things. He said, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's a challenge, isn't it? Greater love is when we lay our lives down for others. This is Jesus' call to a koinonia community. Too often, our response is, what can I get out of this community? What can Lismore Baptist Church do for me? How can I be served by them? But this says something very different, doesn't it? Many will say, yes, I've done this, I've been there, and it gets messy. You know, people hurt people, don't they? Did you notice Acts chapter 2? We read this passage and it looks wonderful, doesn't it? All of these disciples together in this koinonia environment, they're selling their possessions, they're meeting daily, they're gathering together, they're supporting one another. You don't have to go very far through the New Testament, through some of the letters of Paul in particular, written to the church, to realize that the church gets a bit messy, a bit broken, a bit dysfunctional, probably a lot dysfunctional, you notice that? It sort of got pretty messed up from there. How do you continue in this authentic community? How do you continue in koinonia through the messiness and the conflict? And I'm going to suggest something else. Firstly, it's give it all you've got. The second one is this. Ask God to heal hurts. I would say that there would be quite a few people here in this building, those listening on Zoom, those who are listening to this service online, who have had some significant hurts. And sometimes the greatest hurts are the hurts from the people who are closest to us in the very community of love. Does that happen? We carry this hurt. And understandably, I'm not going to try to diminish it in any way. Some people have been hurt very badly. We come into a new community and we go, what about if I get hurt again? What if I get judged? Maybe I'll just put up a wall. Some of you may think, I'm hoping that Pastor John will stand up right now and he will say, you know what, Lismore Baptist Church, we're great. You can trust us completely. You won't get hurt here. Would you like me to say that? I could, but I couldn't stand by that. We are broken and things do happen. But if you've been hurt or you've come from other places where you've been hurt, on behalf of the body of Christ, I want to say I am sorry that you've been hurt. I'm sorry that you've made yourself vulnerable and people have hurt you in the midst of that. No excuses, no clarification in all of that. If you've been hurt, I am sorry. What are the steps to the healing in all of this? And the first one I'd like to mention is this. Steps to healing is your relationship with God first. What is your relationship with Christ like? Go to Him. And it's really important to establish that first, because you know what? Too often, I think, people put expectations on other people that only Christ can offer. We're looking for unconditional love. We're looking for unconditional grace. We're looking for unconditional forgiveness. And only Christ can offer that in perfection. There is only one who can offer all of that. And we need to foster that relationship with Christ, because He's the one who will never let us down. Following on from that, we move into imperfect healthy relationships. Now notice I mentioned imperfect, because there's no perfect earthly relationship. But God has designed us to operate in these relationships. I need you. You need me. We need each other to continue to grow into the people that God has called us to be. And I'm sure for many of you, you'll notice that some of your greatest growing times were when you were wrestling in the relationship with one another. Agreed? Some of the challenges of how do I get along with this person challenges me and they're different to me and I don't know. And these help us to grow, but we remain committed to one another. We need each other, and let's encourage this. And I'm going to give you a little clarification to all of this. Point one, relationship with God first. Two, move into imperfect, healthy relationships. Point three, it's a promise. If number two fails, you've always got number one. Because it's not always going to work. We're going to be committed to it, but one thing will never fail us, and that's our relationship with Christ. Sometimes we move, Christ never moves from us. And here's the fourth point, and I think this is even more relevant today than what it's probably ever been. Even when circumstances are difficult, find alternatives. You know, sometimes we make excuses. You know, it's pretty hard for me to develop community or develop strong relationships. You know, you look at Acts chapter 2 and you go, that must have been such a simple life back then. They had time to meet every day. They were willing to give up their possessions. They probably didn't have as many possessions as I did, or it wasn't as complex and all of that. We can't just give it all up and live in a commune, or though some people do. It doesn't always work. And so we can easily say, no, it's too difficult for me. Some have work commitments. Some do shift work. Some care for family members. Some have significant health issues. Some travel for work. Some have small children. There are so many reasons why it can be difficult. And we heard from Neil and Rhonda just this morning about some of the challenges when we're locked out, when we've got family in other states. Look for a way to develop it. And even in the midst of lockdowns, we've been able to develop a kind of Zoom community. Yeah, I'm first to agree, it's not the fantastic, but at least we were connecting with one another. You know, we do have telephones. We can ring one another. We can connect in various ways. We shouldn't use excuses. Look for alternative ways that we can develop and connect with one another. Don't give up. John Ortberg. We've read a little bit about John Ortberg over the years, and if you want to get out of the boat series, etc., he wrote a book called The Hope of Transformation. And in this particular book, he made a statement, and the statement goes like this. No one drifts into spiritual transformation. It requires effort on our part and the help of other believers. No one drifts into spiritual transformation. It requires effort on our part and the help of other believers. Now, the question I would ask is, do you want to be spiritually transformed? Or should I ask another question? Are you happy with where you are right now? You don't need to develop anymore. You don't have to have any more maturity. You don't have to be stretched anymore if you're just happy with where you are. Or do you desire to grow spiritually? Become more mature, become richer in experiences and in community. If you do that, it requires a commitment. It requires to step out and to take some risks, to be vulnerable. And it requires, as you can see there, community, the help of other believers. Can I also say, it also provides for the risk that we may get hurt from time to time. That does happen. But Christ will always be with you by his Spirit and will guide you and lead you if you allow him. So the question I leave you is, authentic community worth it? If the Bible says it, if Christ says it, it must be that. Can I encourage you as you explore what we've read today, have a look at your growth group guide as you meet up with your growth groups. Explore what does that mean and how can we continue to foster koinonia, authentic community. Will you join with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and the challenges within your word. As you call us into this koinonia, this fellowship, these relationships with one another, in this vulnerability, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will strengthen us and give us wisdom. And for the times when we get hurt, when we get disappointed, when we get offended, that you will help us not to walk away, but to keep our eyes on you, to look for ways to reconcile and forgive, that you will strengthen us in all of this, that we may grow, that we may be enriched through those challenges, just as the church was in the New Testament. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will help us to value and foster authentic community within our church. And as Neil and Rhonda have so aptly said, that we will then look for ways to invite others outside of the walls of this building into that space as well, that they may experience and have the blessing of authentic community in Christ. Guide us and lead us, Heavenly Father, that we may be in step with you. And thank you for the blessing of your Spirit and the blessing of koinonia. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.